Hey y'all, my name is Desiree Perry.
I'm Devin Kitso Creed.
Laura Ayabusi.
Hey y'all.
Hey. Hey.
We are a Black Girls Bravo podcast.
A Black Girls Bravo podcast.
A Black Girls Bravo podcast.
Drum roll, please.
And we're live.
We're live.
We're live.
Season 2.
Yeah. Lucky if you're my fiance. Perfect.
Come on. Choo choo.
I'm crying.
We are your favorite.
Come on, come on. Come on, for old time's sake. Bring it back. Bring it
come
back.
Come on, come on. So we are your three favorite Black girls who love themselves some Bravo television and decided to make a beautiful platform for us to share our candid perspective with you. So ladies, let's get into it. Let's go.
Let's go. We made it. We have had 1 year of a Black Girls Bravo. We're 2 seasons in, 38 episodes, numerous moments of laughter. We have real moments where we talk about some real shit. We have moments of vulnerability with each other. Yeah. More laughs than anything, but also just real genuine connection and friendship. I hope I'm not jumping the gun here when I say, like, this has literally been such an experience for me, and I'm just so glad to do it with you ladies. Like, I love y'all. I already had love, like, Laura, you know, we've been friends for child over 20 some years, and then just being associated with Laura Des, I just automatically had love for you. Like, even before, like, this podcast, if Laura would be like, something happened with Des, okay, cool, because, like, I just knew the connection that you guys had.
Yeah.
But then through COVID and through this show, like, I really feel like y'all are, like, I mean, my sisters. Like, this experience is something that only us three will ever share.
Yeah.
And that in itself is, like, just so amazing to me. I love y'all. This has been, like, never thought I would have a podcast. Never thought that we would be received the way that we were,
right,
by so many people, the way that, right, we've been supported.
Yes. Yeah.
It's just been everything.
It has felt like everything. Oh my God. I don't even want to get too emotional into this, but I wanted to do a podcast. Like, I was the one that I was like, there has to be something to do, like, something to say. I feel like a podcast is it. I saw it in my spirit. Like, and every time we would talk about Bravo, I would talk about Bravo with either Des or Devin, it would just be like, yo, this needs to be recorded. And I'm always saying to my friends, like, whenever I'm with them, like, where are the cameras? Like, we need the show. Are you kidding me? Because it's those genuine moments that I have with y'all, my sisters, that I'm just like, oh my God, if other people could have a little bite size of what this is, like, it's a piece of just, like, home. And I love the fact that we have created a space to just, like, be our authentic selves and, like, share that with people around us. And, like, how people have received it has been really, oh, chills. How people have received it has been really something that I'm so delighted that, like, it is what it is. Like, I knew that what we have here is special. I'm so happy that I get to share it with you, my sisters. And I'm so glad that also those around us are also sharing in our own celebration and, like, really receiving us too. So we are 1 year down, and it's crazy. I was just listening to our, like, 1 month episode, and I was like, gee, wow, time flies. But it has been, like, such a spiritual, like, journey. this whole entire 2020 and into 2021, we are still dealing with so much just like in our lives, and just in the current state of where the world is. And like, books are going to be written, things are going to be definitely documented about what we've gone through. And I have found this space, this platform, this podcast to be literally my saving grace. And I don't think y'all understand that. Like, it's deep for me. So I love y'all. And cousins, I love y'all too.
Honestly, do y'all remember the first few episodes where I was like nervous to talk? Like, my voice was like weird, and I just couldn't, I feel like I couldn't be myself. Like, this, creating this podcast with y'all, of course, like having something with my sisters, like having something with Laura, like Laura, me and you, like you said, have always said, like, bro, we need something, because like me and you funny as hell, like we need something. And so then for you to introduce me to Devin some years ago, and then us during this pandemic to have come together like we did, like, that's also why the Paris trip was just like, there was such an emphasis to it. Like, yes, it was your birthday, Devin, but I feel like it was like full circle. Like, we started this bond during COVID that was just like solidified during that freaking trip. Like, the like, Devin, the one night when it was just me and you, bro, like, that shit was fun as hell. And literally, like, you my girl, girl. You my girl. Literally.
So much fun. Literally, like, that was like one of the best nights of my life. Like, just so much fun, so many memories.
It was definitely a vibe. Like, I don't even know how to explain that night. Like, that night was just like, it was just like very present, very just like a pause, because we haven't had a time to just pause in all of this chaos that the pandemic has, or the, yeah, COVID has brought on to us. Yeah. But aside from that, I would say that personally, this podcast has helped me. It's definitely made me feel like my voice can be heard, and like, people can relate to like what I have to say, because I often have a lot of commentary, but I'm like, oh, do people really like, are they gonna agree, are they gonna like, but no, a lot of people agree with what I say. So like, I love how you guys let me take over the Twitter, and I get to like say my stuff, because then I see all these people who agree with what I say. I'm like, oh my god, I really am funny. Like, I knew I was, but like, they solidify that I am. Yeah, I love that. But I feel like it just helped me grow. Like, I'm more confident in myself. Laura, you know me. As outgoing as I am in my friends group, I am not like this around people I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not like this around strangers or people. Even if I've like seen you here and there, I probably still would not be like this.
Same. But you know what it is? It's because when we can talk our Bravo shit, like, anyone that's talking to me about a show or something that I'm watching, I can easily have a conversation with them, as long as they're not like being weird to me. But and that's what it is. I think that it's amazing that you found that place of comfortability and like doing that now, because I feel like, even though, you know, on the exterior, everybody, you know, has their own perception of what people got going on, but like, your insecurities are your insecurities. I feel like I've had my own insecurities too, but this platform has also kind of like strengthened, you know, who I know I am. Like, you know, it is what it is. It's amazing.
I will say that.
It's amazing.
For sure. I think I've seen such growth in not only the podcast, obviously, starting from, we didn't know what we was doing, we just wanted to do this and knew that it needed to be done, but just like the individual growth in like the way that we communicate when it's business, the way that we get shit done, the way that we are. Like, Des, you were so shy, like tripping over your words, like,
I know,
very self-conscious, and now very, you're
just, I don't think they understand how bad it was. I can only imagine when y'all were editing how bad it was. Like, this girl, stop. Literally, I was like having panic attacks doing this. So I'm really thankful that y'all, like, I remember, especially you, Devin, like, yeah, like, we were already cool, but like, you definitely showed me sister like behavior when you were like, Des, it's okay, like, take your time. And you were like coaching me through it, not like you were actually like helping me achieve something that you knew I was capable of and I was capable of achieving. It's just like, let's calm you down to get you there. And I feel like that is just so beautiful. And I love that for Black women. I love this for Black women. I love that we created this platform for Black women. And honestly, I'm so excited for season 3 because we already have the theme for it solidified, and y'all, it is going to be one for the books. Ooh. It's not going to be just us on the episodes. It's
no.
Gonna be every week, someone different. And yes. I'm really excited. We don't even have a season premiere date at all.
No.
Probably definitely going to be 2022 somewhere.
Give us a break. We studying right now.
It'll be next year.
2022.
Just know it's going to be something that you want to tune in for.
Definitely. And I do want to pause. I want to definitely thank everybody that has been riding with us, especially those that came onto our episodes in season 2. Like, yes. It's incredible that we've even done 2 seasons in the 1 year of us actually going live. Like, we're just turning 1 and we had 2 seasons. Like, that's incredible. But definitely want to thank everyone that came onto our show. Like, we had Chrissy Balls on the show. We had
Andrew.
Yeah, we had our Andrew on the show. Like,
Jax.
We had, yes. Oh my God. And just
we had Jen Shah.
I mean, and where flowers are due, I feel like we made it our business to make the conversation about that. And I feel like we understood the assignment. So
hold on, we also forgot we got good, great guidance from David Yontief.
Oh, we definitely got,
yes.
I mean, we've really created the platform in itself. What it has also done, which is so incredible, is really opening us up to just like connect with those around us in our network, like, and really met some incredible people along the way. So it's been eye-opening, because not only did like we also grow and just, you know, conquer some of our individual like insecurities and things like that, like we also had people that we met along the way that wanted to also like see us grow and do better and like wanted to help us improve, like was so quick to just like give us advice and support us. And like, that's always a great feeling. And that's when you know, like, it's a sure thing. So I'm so excited for where the future is going to take us, 2022.
And just know the future is going to be very bright, because look at all that we've accomplished in our first year.
Sit Amen. Back,
enjoy the show, bitches.
It's been so much. Actually, I want to ask you guys, because we have accomplished so much, we've learned so much. It's been a year. It's been a great year. I want to ask you guys, just take a moment to reflect on your rose and your thorn of the year. So cousins, if you're not familiar with the rose and thorn exercise, what I'm asking the ladies to do is to give something that was very sweet and blooming and something that they enjoyed. You know, you think of the rose, it's beautiful, it's delicate, and it's cherished. And then, you know, of course, when you pick up a rose, there's thorns on the stem, and it's not always as sweet as shit should be or could be. Des, do you have yours?
Yes, honey, child. Can we please talk about, in the season of protest and Black squares, having to deal with the folks of with Southern Charm and the folks of Real Housewives of Dallas, and even Mona Singer and her crazy ass.
Oh, child.
It was rough. Yeah.
That's a
that
thorn.
Was rough.
That's
and
a
to
thorn.
cover all of that was rough.
That's
it
a
was
thorn.
Definitely not easy. It brought a lot of tears. It brought a lot of anger. It brought a lot of attitudes. And during our meeting, there were a lot of split feelings. And good thing that we all, 3 of us, are solid. Okay, because honestly, those topics were not easy to talk about. But that's why we created this platform. And as hard and annoying as it was to talk about that kind of stuff, this is our platform, and that's what they were showing and what's our opinion on it. So that, I mean, I'm glad that we got to give our opinion, but just having to deal with that was the thorn for me, at least. I would say my rose Oh, damn, my brother's gonna be kicking with Jenny. Love me from Jen. I don't care. And if she's guilty, because I don't know, and I'm saying if, because I, that's what you do in America. Mm-hmm. Okay, you are innocent until proven guilty. So anyways, yeah.
Yeah, long run. Hey girl. Oh, that was a good one. Can I go next? I feel like the thorn. I'm gonna go with the thorn first because the rose is bringing delight to me. The thorn is definitely like, wow, did we step into a community and we had no clue? What was really okay. The
wow. we learned very fast.
We learned real fast. I mean, and the thing is, we as a collective, like this circle can't get broken, but we are very independent women. And so we've been in positions, trust and believe, baby, where we've had to fend for ourselves or speak up or, you know, be that girl in the room. And so it has very much felt like at times having to be that girl in the room. And I'm fine and comfortable in being in the limelight because that's been life. but wow, stepped into a community and there are things going on. And it definitely took us time to kind of break walls, to kind of like see past that and still remain true to us, focusing on our goals, sticking true to like what a Black Girls Bravo is. And I'm really proud of us for that. And as far as the rose goes, I kind of hinted to it earlier, but it's definitely in the same vein of like kind of stepping into a community that we were just like, whoa, like there has actually been really cool people that I would have never ever been able to like, or would have never met, that I actually now am willing to like plan trips and time to go visit and spend my personal time to like chill with. I think that that is always dynamic, and like, if you're able to share a connection with someone, especially in the world that we're in now where everything is virtual, like I think that there is something beautiful about that. So we've met some genuine people that really ride with us, and that has been healing in itself. So cheers to that. You see the cup right there. And that's my thorn and my rose. And then
that.
I would also say the rose too is like, yeah, getting Jen on the show was definitely a highlight. And if things do go left, like I will still never, ever regret that. That was still a moment, and where respect is due, respect is due. I think that, again, we understood the assignment as far as our reasoning for why we brought her onto the show. And there were things that were definitely covered that wasn't covered on any other platform. So shout out to a Black Girls Bravo Network, okay, for helping and definitely, you know, providing, again, a space for people to be heard. And I am proud of us for that. So another rose added to the bouquet.
Period. Okay, so my thorn would be, and it's not even like a super prickly thorn, but it still is like, ouch. So the thing is, I'm a Scorpio. Me and Lara are Scorpios. And I go through like ebb and flows of being very, very social and not minding like engaging with people, and like being very antisocial, not wanting to engage. And I didn't realize that when we started this, that people, the majority of people, I will say, expect you to be available whenever to answer their questions, to voice your opinion. And for me, that was new. Or I guess just the demand of it was new. Like getting, you know, constant DMs on what are your thoughts on this, and like just people commenting, which I don't mind. Like when push comes to shove, I think that the engagement is great. And I love interacting with our cousins. Yes. This is the first time that it's like, because this is a brand that we're building and I take seriously, I felt I didn't always have that option to like turn it off. Like, I'm the person that responds to text messages like 2 weeks later in my personal life. So this to have that option, because then we could lose a cousin. Like, and these people like are taking their time to listen to what we have to say. And I felt like, you know, we have our responsibility to give our time to respond to them and talk to them. And I really do appreciate our cousins, but that was just a learning curve for me. Like, it was a big, it still is an adjustment, because I still go through those phases. Like, especially like y'all know, like I moved freaking halfway across the world. And like, since then, sorry y'all, the Instagram has not been what it was, but I'm getting there. So that has definitely been a challenge, and finding the healthy space of like when to make myself available, when to make ourselves available for the cousins and still like have time to ourselves. But we're getting there, you know, we're getting better. I think this is something that any person that is in any form of entertainment in any capacity has to deal with. But I'm here for the learning. And I'm here for the experience. I think my rose has been just having a platform to talk my shit.
Okay. That too. Add it to the bouquet.
I think that it's just a great thing. Like, when I was growing up, I remember my band director and I got into an argument, and he was like, "You just talk to hear yourself talk." And I'm thinking, well, if I'm not listening.
Okay.
To what I have to say, which is very valid, then who else is going to? But I also said to him, well, you just do the same. But that's neither here nor there. I think just like having a space where like people value what we have to say is like very, especially in the climate of this world where so many Black women are being silenced and so many Black women are fighting to have a voice. And it doesn't matter if it's on politics and legislation, whether it's on Bravo television, whether it's on cartoons, I think that any person of any marginalized group, but especially Black women, like, we deserve a safe space where our voices can be heard and valued. And sure, we're talking about shit that's not real. Like, that's a rose and a thorn. Because at the end of the day, like, we've learned that this community can definitely have its toxicity. And at the end of the day, these Bravo shows, like, they're reality shows, but they're not real. But guess what is real? This. The three of us.
Yes, ma'am.
This is very real. And so that is a rose for me. Having people that support us. Definitely charting. I think our top, we got to like 23 on the charts.
Come on. Add it to the rose. 20?
We were pretty high on the charts.
We were pretty high on the charts, and we were overseas with it too on those charts, and we were doing real, real good. That is definitely another rose. Oh yes, add it to the bouquet. Yes.
Definitely a rose. Definitely. And all the people that we've met, like, with COVID, we all have been pretty stationary. And you know, all three of us, we like to be out doing our thing. And COVID said, sit y'all asses down.
Period.
But we still have been able to meet people from all over, from both sides of the country. We have listeners all over Europe, in Africa, all in over, the UK. Y'all.
It's so insane.
Like, just the people that we've connected with, honestly, is like really cool. Like, no matter where you are, like, people are taking time out of their day to listen to what we have to say.
And we know our episodes ain't short, so we really love y'all.
Exactly.
We really love y'all. I would say another rose real quick is also just like really getting the engagement of just like, just people from all over, even some of the actual Bravo celebrities as well, like really stepping into our DMs and just like really connecting with us. And I'm just like, oh shoot, okay, you peep, okay, we peep, so that's great too. Like, that feeling has been a feeling of joy for me for sure in this experience with y'all, and this has been incredible. We are one this is a business, so I'm gonna put my business hat on. It's only going to get better, okay? We are advancing. Period.
Oh, wait, we can't forget about our appearances on Watch What Happens Live. Pew! We talked to Dr. Another Jackie, rose. We talked to Kenya.
Another rose.
We can't forget about that.
Talk
it
to
seems
talk
like a lifetime Dr. ago.
It our seems so long ago.
Bravo.
Say it again.
Wait, say that again, Des. You cut out.
Our first promotion box from Bravo.
Come on. Our Married to Medicine promotion box. We on the PR list. Like, highlights, adding roses. Y'all, it's been blessings, honestly. Like, this space has definitely created, like, so much joy for me. And I'm not even trying to get there. I need to cut this short. But we, your favorite cousins, are not leaving y'all out of the celebration, okay? We are turning up, and I know y'all listening to this on Friday, but listen, if you listening to it in the morning, wherever you at, Eastern Standard Time, we turn it up 6 p.m. on Friday. Meet us on our Instagram live. We want to celebrate with y'all, because if it were not for y'all, where would we be? Okay, we would just be talking with ourselves and our group chat. And we thought that y'all wanted to tap in. So that's the reason why we created this. And we happy that y'all here. So please come. It's BYOB. Bring the bubbles. Bring your own bubbles. Not the beer. Or you can bring the beer. Whatever you like. Bring your own bubbles and bring your own drink. We want to drink with y'all, or whatever your libation is. If you're not drinking, also, this is not a forced space. Whatever your preference is, come and celebrate with us, okay? We are bringing people on to live with us too. We might ask a few questions, get you to take, you know, whatever with us, but we really want to celebrate with y'all, because again, if it were not for y'all, your love, your support, and your constant listening, where would we be? So we turn one, we turning up. It's a party.
Hey.
It's a party. It's
happy
a party.
Birthday. Happy hey. Birthday.
First year.
It's a party. It's a party. It's a party.
So in celebration of our 1 year anniversary birthday, 1 year on the airwaves with the Black Girls Bravo podcast, it's only right that we do a little giveaway. So if you've been rocking with us, since last season, you know we did a giveaway in between season one and two. So now we're going to celebrate not only the end of season two, but the beginning of a new year. And we have some amazing prizes for the cousins. So for this giveaway, we have some souvenirs from our parish trip that you can enter to win. The entry requirements are very similar to our last giveaway. The first thing we want you to do is to go and leave an Apple review. Those Apple reviews help us reach a larger audience. And the cousins, we have cousins we haven't met yet. So we want them to hear what we have to say. So go ahead, leave an Apple review. Tell us what you think about the podcast. If you have any suggestions, we're also open for that. Then we want you to head on over to our Instagram at Black Girls Bravo and tag a friend that hasn't heard of us in our most recent episode post. You can tag one friend, you can tag 20 friends. It's up to you, and I guess Instagram too. Then we are going to make a graphic for our page about this giveaway. We're going to ask that you share this to your story on your Instagram and make sure that you tag us at Black Girls Bravo so that we can see it. And that is your official entry to the giveaway drawing. We will be drawing names for the giveaway winner on December 31st, 2021. That's New Year's Eve. So make sure you follow these steps. Make sure you blow us up so that we know that you have entered. And good luck to you.
Y'all know we got to take a shot because
I already have one poured. So let's get this ball running.
I have one poured in my little Paris mug.
Look, I gotta do like the YouTube
show. Show your cup. Taking one with Auntie Tracy.
Yes.
We got some music in the background. What you playing over there?
Yeah, I'm playing this for us. We're going to have to sing the chorus real quick. This is how Laura gives to me. Laura giving, Laura right now is giving me real 90s R&B group. Like, Laura, we came through. I'm giving you niggas with attitude per usual. Laura's giving, she's giving you, in my girl's ass, from the front to back, put my hand up. Okay, okay. Okay.
I'm playing my man. Devin,
okay, so I really like her. And so if I say Jill Scott, will you get mad?
No. That's no.
Mother. You're giving me like Jill Scott. Let's take a long walk.
Okay.
Around the world.
All right.
What?
Yes.
Conversation.
Come on now.
Yes. You are giving that right now. Literally.
That is a compliment. Sure. Okay.
Sure. I love Miss Jillies. Okay, Auntie Jillies.
Serving a local poet from the city. Husband.
Where's she from? Where y'all from?
Husband dead. Dead husband.
Oh my God, dude. Are you bringing her back?
He's a goner.
Devin has many personalities, and that one, that's the one I vibed with. Real tough. Okay. I love this personality you have. Okay, I vibe with this girl all the time.
Oh my god, favorite. Hey cousins, sorry for that little interlude, but we are feeling good and in a celebratory mood because it is our 1 year anniversary, first birthday, whatever you want to call it. A Black Girls Bravo turns one today. A year ago, we decided to put our voices on your airwaves, and what a year it has been. So before we dissect all of that, ladies, raise your glasses up and let's take a toast, make a toast, whatever, to the first year of this partnership, of this bond, of this just amazing sisterhood that we have created, which is a Black Girls Bravo podcast. I love you, ladies. This has been such a wild ride. Yes. Cheers.
Cheers.
And to all the haters. For season
period.
Three.
To all my haters.
Period.
You could take it to infinity, infinity, infinity. Oh, take it to infinity, to infinity.
We knew it wouldn't be a celebration.
Come on.
Without.
Come on.
Some stamps. Well, this is actually Kava, but don't come for me, Heather DeBro.
Yeah. It's only proper etiquette. We had to have the bubbles. Yes.
And I waited so I can get this pop.
Huh? Oh my God. We turned.
Can I please tell you how I'm excited to talk about Miss DeBrown?
I can't wait. You see, I'm in her Vuv Clicquot closet.
Love it. Like whole background.
Hopefully you won't have to break down the wall. I know that's right. Hopefully you won't. Hopefully you won't. You know.
Ready for the pop? Ready for the pop? Here we go. Woo!
It's a celebration.
We turn one, y'all. It has been magic made on this platform, and I'm so glad that we got here. So cheers.
So Laura, I really want to know what's going on from last week. We ended off our episode, Devin and I, given our final grades of Real Housewives of Potomac. I gave them a B+, I believe.
Yeah, y'all gave them B's. Y'all was on the B's.
Okay, what's your grade? Okay.
Okay, one, y'all held it down last week. Thank y'all so much. I love y'all. I love my co-hosts. They amazing. And I was cracking up. I definitely was traveling. I am safe. I am COVID-free. y'all be safe out there if you're traveling internationally, because these travel restrictions are no jokey joke right now. So I'm back on U.S. soil. I went to London to visit my family. We lost my grandmother in September, but it was a celebration of life, and it was the most important thing to me to be there, and it was really amazing. So had a real good time, and y'all held it down, and I downloaded the episode, as y'all should be doing, cousins, and made sure that I listened to the podcast as I was in the air. Y'all held it down, so thank y'all very much. But let's get into Potomac real quick. So first, the gag is, I don't like Nikki right now. I don't. But
Will I say
she did a terrible job? I will not say that. I won't say that. I won't say that. I won't. If I were to watch a whole reunion with Andy trying to take on these same questions, it wouldn't have happened. So I'm going to say, good job, Nikki, for showing up. And bravo, we can do so much better. Leave it there. Potomac reunion. I really don't think that we needed all those parts. I honestly didn't even notice that we had four until I was listening to y'all talk about it. And I was like, oh, shoot, we did have four. We also had four with Beverly Hills. That could have been two. It's just like, maybe they had,
especially with the lack of answers that we were getting. That could have been two.
Okay. Girl. For real.
T-Pain with it. Okay. I don't think that we needed that. And I feel like we could have gotten through Potomac with two, especially because, like, whose husbands were actually there? I really don't even.
Now you know. I don't even know why they keep.
Can we talk about that for like 5 seconds? It is very irritating when a housewife comes on here. Keyword, Real Housewife. There is supposed to be a segment of the reunion where your husband is on the show. It should be a joint contract. I understand you want the ladies, but if they're married, their husband needs to show us their life too. We're invested, okay? At this point, I want all of you. Yes, I'm
good. Good point.
But it's just like, well, Michael and Juan were off twice.
I feel like during the season. That's it. Robin.
Y'all think Michael and Juan were hanging out while everybody was saving the reunion?
They were probably watching it backstage.
They weren't backstage. They
weren't
there.
They were in Vegas.
Just the two of them.
Vegas. Listen.
Vegas.
What do you say? Vegas. What? Sir.
Okay, sir. Michael.
Yeah,
on the floor. That shit haunts me.
The girls of Vegas. Haunts Let us know what Michael be up to out there. Let us know.
Ooh.
The girls.
I'm sure they can write a book. Okay, I'm sure. But anyway,
I wonder if he messes with the same growls that Lady Graham messes with. Okay, next.
Well. All right. Let me try and get back on subject after
Logan DC.
So, Potomac could have been wrapped up in two episodes. I was going to try and get into looks, but I don't even really want to go there.
I'll let you wrap it up on this one. How did you feel about Ascala only getting two lines?
Ooh.
Like two sentences. How did you feel about that?
Did y'all happen to watch the most recent episode that they did, like
where she had
the secrets revealed
episode. Did y'all watch that?
I did not. It was okay. So it came on. I had fallen asleep the other night, and it came on, And I was like really confused. I thought I was having like a fever dream because I would like wake up and one minute it was the reunion and the next minute it was an episode. And I was like, am I dreaming?
No.
Is this real? And then I pressed the info and I saw it was Secrets Revealed. So I didn't watch it yet, but it is in my DVR.
Let me just give you a little sneak peek, sis. There was ample footage of Candace and Escala and her husbands having positive interactions, positive kikis of substance that got left on the cutting floor. So it's very crazy to me that people were like, oh, Escala's only here to stir up mess. No. She did a lot of other scenes that Bravo, that just goes to show what editing does, y'all. What they want y'all to see.
Oh my gosh, so much. I would advise all of the cousins to definitely go check out the Secrets Revealed episode. Devin, yes. The way that they were cutting the episode, it was like one scene, they were at reunion, and then next scene, they were showing the cut because they were asking them a question that would like basically be a prompt for the clip. And I was just like, okay, so Bravo, how y'all can really be using this content in a better way? Like, I don't understand why we are getting such rubbish. You know, I'm coming from London. We're getting such rubbish right now in these episodes when I actually enjoyed seeing Mia have a conversation with her son. And I enjoyed really seeing different sides of these women. And I don't want to say too much, but I have been also watching The Girls Trip, The Ultimate Girls Trip, and I also feel the same sentiment. Like, I'm seeing different sides of the women that I'm just like, why do we not pick this up in the season when they are on the air? Like, so you know how many people are not going to watch that Secrets Revealed episode, like, because it's not really a part of the season. Y'all should be putting this footage out there in some other light, because the women they have way more, like the women have more milk than
they're giving more substance.
Girl, why do we say the same word at the same time? Yes, it literally was the substance, like the more the personalities that we're looking for, that was that. And it's like, I don't know how they need to reshape the show to show us that. But I feel like
you need to listen to a Black Girls Bravo podcast and start taking note, babes.
But because also stop overproducing. It's the way. Because if you overproduce, then you get these like so all of these different storylines, all of these different feuds, and all this different drama, and it doesn't make sense. And we can't dive into these people. Like Mia, I want to know more about Mia. All y'all told me about Mia is that she was a stripper.
No, but if you think about old stuff too, like they would definitely show more of like those random clips of footage of the women doing just random stuff. Like if you really think about it, and I feel like you are right, Des, like maybe there's just too many people in the room at this point because y'all are losing some of the things that actually we enjoy seeing. It's a reality show. I still want to see parts of these people's reality, which would involve
like the same way that we see Mary's house 24/7.
Over it. Stop showing me that shit. Put it on Bravo Insider.
Other people's house, but we don't see other people's houses like that. We've only seen Mary's, and honestly, we're tired of seeing Mary's. Like, show us someone else's house like that. Like,
go in the church. Follow her when she goes in the room. Follow her when she go in the room and she asks these people to mortgage their house. That's the conversation I need to see. Okay.
Y'all
need
to be following her. But we'll get to that. But Des, what you said about it being overproduced, I think you're absolutely right. Because if you watch older seasons of any Housewives show, the scenes were a lot longer.
Yeah.
Like there was less cut out. Like I've been watching season 7? I think of Jersey, season 6 or 7, when like Jacqueline was still on there, Caroline had just left, and Teresa was starting to have all those issues with Kathy and Rosie, because, you know, they're cousins and all that stuff. But like the scenes were just a lot longer and more authentic. There was less clips. You know how you can hear like when you're watching an argument or even in a confessional, the different fluctuations of voice, like those are all times where an editor has like cut and put pieces of a long conversation together to be a whole new sentence. And not saying that that's not like, that's part of the job, but I mean,
it loses its essence. Like it loses, it loses its essence when there's just like too much going on. But like, I don't want to get too far off, but that is something that I'm noticing. And I would definitely say, cousins, watch the Secrets Revealed clips. I definitely enjoy Escala. Secrets Revealed. Sorry, I don't even know what I said, y'all. But I definitely love Escala, and I definitely hope that she comes back. Okay. Definitely hope she comes back. Like, we've learned more about, like, her parents are living in her house. Like, we don't know nothing about Escala because that they decided to really just chop all of it out. And
we didn't really know anything about Marlo and her first one either. Like, friends.
True.
Much about them, but it would have been nice to not have seen Candace.
I mean, yeah, because what else did they give us?
The whole season.
Because what did they give us?
They gave us her in a certain light all season. They didn't give us her enjoying dinners, being calm and acting her age. They don't show that part of Candace. Mm-mm. And that's why I don't sit here. I hate when people sit here and try to like just tear her apart. I'm like, they are showing you this one part of her. They're not showing you all these other parts of this person. So like,
it's she puts her foot in her mouth. 100%.
It's like, watch it, give your tea, but
then yeah, like, but everyone's like, not perfect. So stop judging. Right. So yeah, exactly. You don't need to tear her down. Stop looking too deep into it, because y'all really are never getting the whole story. You're not. You're just not.
Be 100. If somebody was talking crap about your marriage to your mama, going bad. I don't care what that looks like, who it's from. Girl.
What I do want to say and wrap up this is what I did notice in watching Candace on the reunion when she was getting asked about her mother and that whole drama, is, you know who she really need to talk to? She needs to talk to Candy Burris. Because y'all remember how mama's mouth was always on motherfucking speed. And she did not give a god dang who got caught in the crossfire. There's a difference. What's the difference?
Candy pays the bills. Candace's bills get paid. I'm gonna just leave it.
And this is why Candace is literally going to have to, when you have a parent that's a narcissist, you have to break all of those ties. And Candace, because she's been in a position where her mother has been taking care of her for so long, her mom is still treating her and seeing her as a child, even though she's a grown-ass woman. A person like Candace's mom is not going to take Candace seriously because she's never had to. She knows how to play Candace. She knows how to manipulate Candace.
Yep.
With Candy, you're exactly right, Des. It was different. The power was switched because Candy has been providing for herself and her family since she was a teenager. So yes, Mama Joyce has always popped off at the mouth, but there's another element of control when it comes to Candace's mom. Because
Y'all right.
She probably still get some good advice on setting boundaries.
I definitely think there's something there. Y'all definitely are right. But I feel like there's something there as far as these women being in the public eye. And especially now that, you know, Candace wants to have a music career, like, you got to put this under wraps. Like, things like this is bad press. You don't want that, especially when you should be focused on the music, babes. So it's one of those things where, like, I'm praying for her. I hope that she figures that out, because I'm sure that that's really stressful. And like, no one wants to be fighting with a loved one, especially not their mother. So,
yeah. And with the husband too.
And that's right. Just causing that rift now in your home, like with your man's, like too much. Too much.
She needs to cut off business relationships with both of them.
Mm.
Speak and on just it. Have familiar relationships with them and speak then see if things improve. But I digress.
I think my final grade, though, y'all, is it's going to be they passed. Can I give them just a pass?
Okay, we're going to switch to the pass-fail method. Okay.
They passed. I don't think that they failed me. I did not miss anyone from the show. I think that they still kept me entertained. Love Karen. Don't really know what to expect with this show that's allegedly happening. So I am looking forward definitely to another season of the Potomac Sisters. They brought it and they really hit the gate running. And I really give it to them because we were watching a lot of consistent trash for some time for some other seasons. And I think that this was good. Not their season. I'm not talking specifically to them. I'm talking about channel. I'm talking about what we've been watching leading up
to. Real Housewives of New York. Real Housewives of Dallas. Woo! Real Housewives of Orange County with KG.
It was stressful.
Like, where you want to go?
It was a real stressful year. It was a real stressful year. So cheers, Potomac. Y'all passed. And can't wait to see y'all in the future.
Streaming?
Yo, streaming. Why? Who told him to do that? Who hired him for that?
I want to be his vocal coach.
Yo, slide in the DMs.
You want to be like, and the rampant. The only part he said was rampants correctly. He didn't say nothing else correctly in that song, but that
listen,
part.
Listen, Jacquees, call my good sis Devin. Jacquees, call my good sis Devin, all right?
Don't call me. Don't call me Negro.
Girl, you said you wanted vocal lesson coaching.
I said I want to know who his vocal coach is.
Oh, that part.
Because he needs his money back. Yeah. I'm not taking on that job.
Well, if you could give a referral, people get paid for that type of clienteling. Okay.
Yes, I can give him a referral.
I had the dog.
The way he's singing, he's not even singing in English. So,
well, the crazy part about it though is I know LMA was over there just laughing her little ass off.
You know, when we sing this song, it's about the stars and the stripes. You know how she always got to do a freaking monologue after every song?
They had beef. They had beef because he was getting paid for her song that he was
covering. Oh, I remember that.
But I'm not even trying to be funny. His version was better. Okay, so let's tap into this. This week's deep dive is going to be on Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. Deb and I gave our thoughts last week, but there has been more. And we have more thoughts. And now we have Laura to add to those thoughts. So let's start off with Laura. Where are you at? So you watched the recent episode. You're here.
I'm here. I'm caught up, y'all. I have been watching Salt Lake City. Yes.
And give us.
First off, what kind of fucking trip was that? Sorry for my language, but if I was on the ship, I would have been mad. What did we do on the trip? What did they do as a collective, y'all? You know how normally, like the trip. Okay, we go to the slopes together. We go shopping together.
They split up and they had one night together with everyone.
If I call Meredith's legs chicken legs, is that body shaming? I'm only asking because no one wanted to see those legs in that leotard. No one wanted to see that.
You no. Gonna shut up? I think that honestly, get
custom leotards and all that. They are all. What did they think? Were they living like some teenage fantasy or something out there?
Listen. The right. Because what was that theme?
What grown ass women who don't know how to skate are going in the middle of Vail.
But to sit in the backyard with it though. But they would like it looked like they were sitting on a ledge. They were like, what were we doing in these costumes though? Like they if I was on this trip, I would have been mad. I would have been mad because what was the itinerary? Honestly, y'all needed support.
I think you guys are talking about two different scenes because I think Des is talking about the skating rink with Lisa Meredith and Mary, and Laura. I think you're talking about the Belgian. I don't even know what type of dinner they were having.
Girl,
I'm talking about when they were walking the streets of Vail. Okay, the town cobble.
In their costume to ice skate, and they didn't even know how to ice skate. It was not. I mean, this is the thing, y'all. I didn't really like the trip. That's my review. I would have been upset because my bougie ass likes an itinerary, and I will tell my friend.
Also, not even that. The itinerary was trash. Like, if you're bringing,
but that's what I'm saying.
Exclusive houses in Vail. And then you want me to dress like I'm at Oktoberfest? No, I'm not. That's not. We could have stayed at the freaking Doubletree to dress like Oktoberfest. No tea, no shade, because I hear Oktoberfest is fun. But
was it the theme for like a slumber party? Like, you see what I'm saying? You see where I'm coming from? Like, what were we doing on this trip? Yo, because I would have been mad. That's my, I'm still mad.
It was the most awkward.
I'm mad for you.
Like, you know how when every other cast goes on a trip, you can at least start to see like what friendships do exist authentically away from the camera.
Yeah.
Even though I love Salt Lake, on their girl trips, they're pretty dreadful because these girls really don't have like genuine friendships and connections.
None of these girls are friends. Girls are friends. Okay, because Lisa sat up there and said that she only knows Mary because of Cameron. And then Meredith and Jen were obviously friends, but you see how that just dwindled. And then Lisa and Meredith were friends, but were they really?
Maybe were they really?
Were they really? Okay.
That friendship is weird.
Because if I'm going through a divorce with my husband, a separation, I'm gonna tell the person who I've been calling my best friend. You know, we're like each other, like sisters, we're like twins. I'm gonna tell her about me before I tell Jen on the block. Like that don't even make no sense. And then Whitney and Heather, we find out that they just became cousins. I feel like they're the only two people who are loyal to each other, and that's it.
And we've been feeling that since the first season, and that was fine. Their relationship is fine to me. Everybody else, y'all not cool. And I agree, watching them on this girl trip, I was just like, y'all don't know shit about one another. Like, what did you learn at the end of this trip besides the fact that y'all should have all kept y'all asses in Salt Lake City because it was already a bad omen the second that some damn feds pulled up to your shit? Should have realized, you know what? It's not a good day.
You know what's really annoying? Why does Heather keep saying that she was so traumatized by this?
Well,
like, can we stop using trauma in the wrong situation?
No, Deb, well, I can say that that can be her trauma. These people came up to her place of business. Okay, she had no idea what was going on. Okay, and she now is in the position that she's in the public eye. And she's always thinking about herself and how she's being like looked at. You know, she's still trying to figure out who Heather is and like how people receive her and perceive her. Like she really thinks about that shit. And we can see that in her actions. And like she does tell the world on the show that, you know, she's sorting her shit out. And I can say that that can be her trauma because personally, like that is a moment where shit, goddamn, things are out of my hands. Like, I don't know what is going on. And all of a sudden, the person that I thought I'm cool with is now supposed to be getting charged with some crazy things that, whoa. Like,
I feel like it's past that, though. It's like 5 seconds ago, you were just telling me that your husband had internal bleeding in the hospital. 5 seconds later after that, you're telling all of a sudden the SWAT team and friends are showing up at my place of business or my place of business. Like that is a little traumatizing, but I get what you mean, Devin. Like, okay, we get it. It happened. But you know what? I feel like we are more equipped to handle certain situations than other people.
Because that's been our life in America.
But not even just in our life, I feel like in our ancestry. Like what we've dealt with, literally mm-hmm. when something like that happens, I'm not about to like, oh my God, I'm traumatized. Like,
yeah. I'm not going to sit there and cry on the bus ride. Like, I'm just not.
Yeah, but I'm also not calling six attorneys either.
No. Absolutely not.
I might call
Lisa
one.
Doing both of those.
I'm definitely up for a show calling one or two.
Okay, that's. I'm not.
Yeah, right,
but I'm not going to be mad that she called an attorney
for extra eyes and ears. You know,
she didn't need to be making those phone calls back to back on the car ride to Vail.
No,
she should have waited until they got to where she was going off campus.
I feel like her husband could have dealt with that.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, like, I feel like she got an assistant as well. Like that could have been handled.
That was performative.
Very much.
She could have texted her attorneys. All attorneys text these days. It's 2021. And if she has them on such a tight leash as she says she does, she could have texted them. She was doing that for show. Just like she was crying.
Devin ain't telling no lies.
No, I ain't saying that. What you're saying ain't true and valid right here. Yeah, I would agree. I definitely, again, watching them in that house, y'all, what I was confused about, it was real weird to me watching Lisa leave the scene of the crime, go down the stairs, go into Mary's room and act like she was not just saying the motherfucking tea.
Girl, no, Lisa is actually hilarious about that because that is a dangerous woman. That is a person who literally has the ability to talk. I want to say talk shit because she tell your truth for you. Tell your truth for you
dangerous.
Without you knowing that she's doing so. Then sit up in your face and not even acknowledge the fact that she just exposed your whole life.
She was talking mad shit upstairs. She was talking shit. She was saying
a lot.
You need to not be close to Mary. You was giving that energy, babes. You were telling these women upstairs, Mary is someone everybody should be cautious of. And then
got to get from her.
You went downstairs and was in this woman's room like, and you know what she's going to say at the end of the day? I just asked the question that everybody wanted to ask. No, babes, that was some grimy, weird energy. Like,
well,
I
they know. Were, they you were know pressuring what Lisa her to answer. To do? They were pressuring her to answer. They were.
They were.
It was just
they were pressuring her. They were like, you know something, say it. She didn't want to say it. So they did pressure her. She's obviously, you know, she's easy.
She wanted to say it. She was acting like she did it. You know what? Listen, let me tell you something. Lisa got a lot of backlash from us included last season for being boring, for being one note. Not entertaining. And this season, Lisa is coming back with a vengeance and is trying to be so entertaining that she's in every scene. Literally, I think when she left the deck to go down, first of all, you're not going to bring me to this luxury villa and have me sitting outside in the winter in the snow. No, not happening. But anyway, she went in the house to talk to Mary purely to get more camera time, purely to stir up more stuff. Because if anything that she was saying on the roof was genuine, she would have went in and went to bed.
Exactly.
That's her understanding the assignment.
You're not wrong. She did
understand. Like, she's doing it so effortlessly too. She's literally doing it and literally it's like, that's a bad bitch.
That's what a lot of people are saying online right now. Like, she is the mastermind. She is front and center. And she is loving all of the heat, all of the attention.
Well, let's not forget how we met Lisa. We met her with saying that Heather was a fun girl in college and like making all this like tea about Heather and Whitney. Like she's been that girl. She's been that drama. Is she the drama? Yes.
Is she the drama this week? Lisa is the drama this season.
I think we thought it was going to be coming from Jen. But it's coming from Jen. It's coming from Jen, Lisa.
Jen about to turn up, but I know that's right.
But who was she coming for? Yo, who was she coming for? I'm just who, like, no. Yes,
it came. Who came for her?
Oh, okay.
I'm wondering how this is going to happen because Meredith made it very clear that if you invite Jen, don't invite me. So I'm interested to see the rest of the season now that that's been made clear, like how the dynamic's going to be, who's getting invited to what, because you see they're on a party bus or a sprinter.
Leave Meredith alone. I'd rather move with Jen any day because Meredith is, I'm sorry, you're a coward. I
slow and it's on purpose.
Hold on.
No, I don't think you're wrong. I don't think you're wrong at all.
The way that she is moving, y'all, she is moving mad. If you haven't heard it before, when someone says that you are moving mad, that means that you are unreliable. Like you are doing things that no one can catch wind and track you. That is not okay.
When she was sitting there when they were on the deck, and she was like, "No one's listening to my
yo,
girl. Listen, people are saying on Instagram that like something is off with her this season, like and like something chemically
malfunctioning. Okay, here's the getcha gotcha, and I have to really tread lightly with this because I am obviously not going to. I'm not a specialist or anything, so I can't diagnose someone. But erratical behavior like that tends to be of someone who like might have been abused in the past, might have had a substance abuse.
That's what I'm thinking. It seems like substance abuse to me.
I'm trying to be as nice as possible and politically correct. I'm not trying to get us canceled, y'all. Okay, I'm really not trying to get us canceled.
I was just watching Intervention before we started recording, and all I'm saying is.
It's giving. She was sitting there like, now I'm better. And I was like, girl.
She's
Laura has left the building. Laura has left the house and died. Bitch, did you not see me die? She literally was going crazy. She was going manic, and that's what I want to call it. She was having like a manic.
She's been acting really weird.
No one was listening to her talk. Wanting to talk about Jen, they were wanting to talk about Mary. Now we are not focusing on Mary. We are canceling Jen.
But also, have you seen the preview for the rest of the season? She's not going back down. Like, she's staying at a 10 for the rest of the season. What's going on, Meredith? Baby girl, we can't be doing drugs.
Ooh, wait a minute.
Or too much alcohol. You know, we see that. So I wouldn't even just say, I would say substance. And it is very clear that there is a being used and a substance being just like
you abused.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. This is not funny, cousins. And we are going to hell. But there's something not right there.
Right. And if someone and the way she sat there and then in a recent interview with somebody talking about, I've been giving tithes since I was in kindergarten. Like, girl, that man giving away, remortgaging his house and giving a woman. $300,000 doesn't ring up. Like, that's not normal. Oh, what did she say? She was like, no one questioned Angie's friend when he pledged $1 million. Bro.
She was like, I'm coming with facts. That is someone who
looks like he can afford that.
I'm coming with facts. I need facts.
Bitch, the facts are out there. You just don't want to see them. And that's the end all exactly. Be all to that one. Okay. I really do not stand for any person that's trying to look undercover into my life and you can meet me at my doorstep. You know where I live. The simple fact that she has hired PI, I will never, ever, 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 ever trust it. And for that,
one of my colleagues or associates hired a PI on my ass, literally at that point, like, woo. You can just stand 10 toes down to ask me a question. And even if I lie to you, bitch, just stop associating with me, period.
Why is it ever that deep?
It's never that deep. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're my friend, my colleague, my coworker, my ex, somebody I had class with 20 years ago. If you decide to spend your money to hire a private investigator on me for liking a series of tweets,
count your days.
Count your motherfucking days.
There were certain text messages being sent to the little boy's phone. He ain't even a little boy. The grown man's phone.
Whatever. Then stop associating with me and move on. The simple fact that you now want to do that much, you spending your money and to do all, because this is your family. Guess what? Everybody's family is involved. And again, I feel like I said this the first season when I was watching them. She don't understand the assignment where this is reality TV. Like, do you not understand that your privacy now is going to be tapped a little bit in a way that it was never tapped before? You're opening
right. If you didn't want your affair being exposed, then you should have not sent in your audition tape.
Okay.
If you wanted to just continue to have your affair in peace, but common sense. People that are not having affairs, people that are not Real Housewives, know as soon as you get on any TV show, it could be Real Housewives, it could be the People's Court. People gonna find out information about
okay.
you.
It could be People's Period. Court. You went on live television, something that is recorded. Okay. Babes, what were you expecting? People are now gonna be in your business and you're not about to call PI on every single person now that wants to kind of tap you and say something about you. Like, girl, what were you doing in the past? Is that how you moved in the past? Again, she moves mad. And with that,
I also don't understand how PIs are like even a legal thing, because apparently they can like put tracking devices on you and like all this crazy stuff. And I just don't understand how this is, unless it's like affiliated with like high level government for people that are like killing people, like Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell. Yeah, they should have had a fucking PI. But like, I'm sorry, Jen didn't need no damn PI.
No, you step to that woman and you ask her what's up. You tell her, yo, are you liking some tweets about my son? And if she lies to your face, then you could tell her, sweetheart, I got receipts, because that's how Real Housewives do it. And babes, you're a liar. And I move with the evidence that I got, confident enough to tell you that you're a coward because you can't own up to your shit. And you move away from that woman and you let that woman live in her misery. Meredith, if you had it together, you would not be ever this pressed to ever be so involved in trying to expose this woman and her family. The simple fact that that was her go-to plan A attack, I'm disgusted. Like, that, me personally, that's my opinion. I'm disgusted seeing how she could not just step to Jen and just ask directly, like, did you do this? Okay. And even if she lied,
no,
again,
she
Meredith,
needed, she
you could have moved
her
from
hate.
That situation. Like, the hate. It was this
her
hate.
Her
this,
hate and her dislike for Jen is clearly her storyline this season.
Ooh, y'all, hate
because
is a
she doesn't
want to
expose
scary,
anything else that's going on with her life.
It's a scary thing, y'all. Hate is such a scary, deep, diseased thing. Be very wary of people that carry hate in them, because it was never that deep. And the simple fact that she couldn't even just step up to another woman or step up to another person, whatever the case may be, and just ask her directly, hey, did you do this? Instead, she had to be so grimy and to do all this. You spent money and time and energy. Like, your case is not valid. Even what she's talking about right now, sweetheart, that is not the reason why things are now hot on Jen's end. So, sweetheart, it's just like you're adding also to a storyline now that it's inappropriate. Poor timing on your part. And I don't like it. And I don't, and nobody cares. And that's the reason why she wants everybody to care. And that's the reason why she was acting crazy in that scene when people were actually talking about also evidence that's out there that Mary M. Cosby needs to also be concerned about. And even if what was disturbing for me was watching Mary act like, Mary, you know you're aware of these things that are being said about you, your church, your congregation, all these things. There ain't no way in heck that it hasn't been brought to your attention, okay? And if it hasn't been brought to your attention, you are now blindly walking in the world because you have not just yourself to worry about, you have your child and you have your other family members to worry about. The simple fact that you're acting oblivious as if you can't speak to these things, even whatever you got going on is your business. No one's asking you to expose what you got going on. But to walk, to act around these women like you don't know what's up, it's kind of scary to me to watch. Because I'm just like, I wish at least she would have taken a second of her moment of time around these women to be like, first off, y'all gonna stop talking all of this right now, okay? I wish she would have taken a defense for her congregation and for the church up front and center, instead of her now trying to stand up and be like, glory be to God.
She doesn't know how to do that. She doesn't. I don't think Mary doesn't know how to socialize or how to play her game outside the church and outside of the people that are very naive and have clearly been manipulated by her. It's a different world. Interacting with these women and covering your shit with these women requires another level of expertise, if you will, than trying to hoodwink, you know, people in her church that have a very small concept of what the world even is in the first place, because they're very strict and like they don't do worldly things, they don't listen to worldly music, they don't watch worldly shows. Like, half the people in her church probably don't even know that she's on this show. The fact that she definitely
ain't no way they're paying her bills and that Xfinity bill too. Ain't no way.
Exactly. They don't know like what's really going on with her. And it's very clear to me the way that she freezes up and the way that she throws insults and the way that she diverts different conversations and stuff. Like, she doesn't
know. The gifts, y'all. The gifts.
The gifts that were not gifts, random things that were in her suitcase.
Exactly.
That she decided to give to the women because she had nothing else to do. She had nothing else to do.
Like, they're peasants too. She feels like you were beneath her. I feel like those were like,
it's giving
those kind of gifts. And I don't like that. But now that we're on the topic of Mary, I do want to bring back my little segment, Twitter Streets, because the Twitter Streets were actually really going off this episode, and I really want to know what you ladies have to say about this, because in the Black community, the people were really riding for Mary and were saying she didn't mean it like that when she said the Mexican drug people or the Mexican drug dealers or whatever she was saying in reference to Jen or whatever she was trying to say. I don't know, but it was disrespectful AF, number one. Number two, my stance, and I kept our podcast stance at, I'm keep that same energy. So the same way I don't want any other race talking about Black people in a stereotype, I'm not talking about another race in a stereotype, no matter if that stereotype might be true. Doesn't matter. That's rude AF. That's disrespectful and it's disgusting. And to see our community in the Twitter streets sitting there talking about, well, what she meant. No, we can't go by what she meant. It's what she said. What were the words that came out of her mouth? You don't know what Mary meant. You don't know that. Do you have tea with her on Sundays? No. Okay.
Exactly.
You have dinner with her? No.
The pill that a lot of Black people are not ready to swallow is that just because we are a marginalized group, just because, you know, we face racism and stuff like that, doesn't mean that we are absolved also of our responsibility to call it out when it's happening towards other marginalized groups. And what Mary said was wrong. It's a stereotype. It's not true. It's also very dangerous to compare a brown woman of one culture to another.
Can we talk about that part?
Brown culture.
That was so disrespectful.
It's not okay what she said at all. And I don't even know why people are trying to even have a different position on this. It's inappropriate.
Oh, we got some subtweets from what I wrote. And I could feel it. And the shots were fired, but they missed because you didn't act.
You missed.
Okay, period. I'm just trying to say that, like, I really do think it's very unfortunate as a community where we can't hold ourselves accountable, you know? Like, just like the same way, like I said, I don't want a non-Black person referencing Black people with some stereotype. I'm not doing that to anyone else's culture, ethnicity, race, whatever it may be. I'm not doing that. That's none of my business. And I'm not in that business. Okay. And that's just tacky, to be honest. It's like, you are so weak. Like, your brain cannot come up with a comeback good enough that you have to come up with something that insults a certain demographic of people. That's weird.
And this is how you know that the things that people are saying about her inside of the church are true. Because look at the way that she does insult when she decides to do it. We've heard the audio. We saw this episode. She cut below the belt once with the comment about the whatever she was saying, comparing Jen to the drug lord. And then her weak ass insult towards Heather about Heather being chubby.
No, can we all talk about that? The Twitter streets were saying that was not body shaming.
I'm sorry, but if Mary's vocabulary was a little broader, they wouldn't be saying the same thing. It's just because she used the word chubby, because that's all her vocabulary can comprehend.
But how is calling someone chubby, unless it's like an insult? Baby, okay, it's a baby, you know. But when you are calling someone, that is not a term of endearment. That is disrespectful. Someone said, "Well, it's not an insult if you're just calling the person what they are." What?
It's all about intent. It's all about intent. And her intention was to be hurtful to Heather. It'd be one thing if, I don't know. I don't even know what to compare it to.
I don't ever see that being a term of endearment. I mean, okay. You know, that fetish, chubby chasers. But do they like being called that for real? Or is that like derogatory? I don't think that's nice.
It's not derogatory as your resident fat woman. And yes, I call myself fat because, newsflash, I am fat. And I'm part of a great community, which other fat women, you should join. It's called Fat Girls Traveling, where we talk about, like, yeah, we are fat. It's not an insult if it's a fact. It's if you are trying to insult me with that word, it's like, okay, come at something harder. Come at my character. If I'm a shitty person, then call me a shitty person. Right, if you feel like I'm ugly, then go ahead. Call me ugly, which I'm not. Do whatever you feel like you need to do.
But just to come for the obvious.
She can't say she broke.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah, if I'm broke, call me broke. But okay, you're calling me fat. Actually get your mind working. Start to turn those wheels and come a little harder, because I could say a lot about you, Mary. Heather could say a lot about you, Mary, but all you come up with is chubby. But you are a cult leader, manipulative, liar, conniving.
Heather,
you
know, was fed up. Heather was fed up. The second
Heather was fed up.
Yo, the confessional, that when she was like pew 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 pew, she was like, oh, gloves are off. She was like, you want to come at me? I have not said a thing about what the people have been saying about you. And she was like, pew, 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 gloves are off. I don't care for it anymore. And I will be sad if these women come back together because I just don't see it for Heather. I think that this is not good. This whole dynamic, you are seeing a person's true colors. Don't be oblivious to it. Like, don't see past this stuff right now. Like, Mary is showing y'all it. And I really think y'all need
to... Yeah, where's Mary's private investigator?
Okay. Meredith is trying to not let it happen. But listen, clearly, if that's how you and your pack is moving on this show, Salt Lake City, y'all might want to get one. Because it seems like that's the culture out here.
I'm wondering what Meredith has to lose if she loses her friendship with Mary. It really makes me wonder what stakes...
She just wants to prove her point. She wants to prove she's willing to nail Jen to the cross by any means necessary. Like, this is like, I don't even know how to explain the like.
It's hate.
Girl is getting obsessed.
It's hate.
Girl is getting obsessed though. She's a fan.
She's a fan.
She's tuned in. She's mad that you're not suffering. She's mad that Jen's not suffering. And so she wants Jen to suffer.
That's so sick. And
it's just so crazy how there's a woman who's standing next to you. You don't. She said, I've been to that church. It was like, girl, shut up.
No, you didn't. You came for 30 minutes and you left. You did not stay in that service, child. Stop playing. And if you did, you came once. Stop playing. Did you commit a tot? Stop playing. You are not serious.
Anyone in my circle, when there's a, I'm sorry, I don't really care. I'm pulling a Marlo. I'm bringing what I hear on the streets to the table. Okay. Yes. So if I'm hearing from a lot of people that there might be this cult leading crazy woman on the cast, I'm going to be like, sick.
She was with it. No, she was with bringing the tea to the team, yo, until Jen got arrested. The second that Jen got arrested is when Meredith was like, ooh, ooh, boop, 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 boop. Let's get back to my original plot plan to get one of these suckers out.
Because why do I feel like that Meredith gave Mary some kind of like
tip off?
Yes,
she probably did.
I think, yeah, that's why the relationship, the friendship between Meredith and Mary is very odd to me, and it really makes me question, like, well, what do they both have to lose if they are not friends during this specific time? During this specific point in time where Jen has just been arrested. And let's be real, they're not the only people on this cast which have a lot to hide, because I don't know about the Twitter streets, but the TikTok streets and the Instagram roads have also been doing their fair share of talking. And it seems like a lot of people on this cast have things that they might want to keep quiet.
What are they talking about on TikTok?
Well, we have Jenny's niece saying that, you know, she came and said she's a family person, but there's a lot of drama there. She doesn't talk to her family, blah, blah, blah. We have Whitney, whose husband allegedly runs a pyramid scheme.
Oh, Lord.
We have...
They ran through the savings?
Oh, Lord.
Oh, I didn't hear
that. They played a little trailer there. She was like, we ran through our savings for marketing. Okay.
So I'm just saying, it seems like there's a lot of stuff that's been kept quiet
right
in the streets of Salt Lake. And it makes sense to me because in the church communities, regardless of what type of church it is, or, well, let me just speak for, you know, them, because it's a lot of Mormons and what's Mary Pentecostal and stuff. In those types of communities, a lot of things don't get talked about. A lot of things do get swept under the rug. There are a lot of lines and boundaries that you don't cross for the sake of being proper, being godlike, being respectful, and those sorts of things. So a lot of shit creeps through the crevices because you know people aren't going to talk about it. Whereas you get these girls in Atlanta, you get these girls in Jersey, you get these girls in Beverly Hills, and it's leaky faucets because they don't have that religious tie of, oh, well, we got to be respectful because, you know, we have to be godlike or whatever. So that's just my personal philosophy on why I feel like a lot of these people, and not even just from this show, just like a lot of people from that region. I say this because I was up late the other night. I couldn't sleep and Sister Wives was on. You know, they from Utah too.
Oh, shoot. Okay.
And they got their own shit too.
Yeah, I heard.
I just feel like there's a lot more to these people than we know. And they may want to just be careful moving forward.
All right. I'm looking forward to the next episode because we see that Jen is back with the cast. I mean, she was only down for a few hours. We remember that day. And it was definitely nice to see, you know, her kind of bounce back, like, and try to now figure out, you know, what's going on. So I'm interested to see her join the whole entire group. We know that she is the whole entire damn show, so things are probably about to get spicy, as we can see. And entertainment is now back in the frame. So excited for that. How are y'all feeling about Salt Lake City right now?
Honestly, I'm ready to see more. The trailer for the second part of the season looks intriguing. I won't give my opinions on what I saw in the trailer, only because, like I said, it's a trailer. So they just show you like little bits and pieces. So I'm gonna just wait for my commentary, but I'm excited. You know, I'm ready to see Auntie Jen.
I agree. I'm ready for Jen to come back. The trailer was, it delivered what needed to be delivered. So we'll see. Let's hope that Bravo didn't put all the good moments into the trailer so that we have nothing to look forward to. But like I just said, I feel like we're going to start to see a lot more about all of these Salt Lake City castmates start to surface and, you know, finding out about their doings.
Who I do want to know the tea about is when Meredith was like, you want to know who else is having an affair? Yeah, I do.
Okay.
You're crazy.
Yes. Yes, yes, I do, Meredith. And I also want to know what you just smoked, or what you just drank. We ain't never heard her like that before.
Yeah, we ain't never heard her like that before.
Get Devin off the line. Tell me what. Devin's acting up.
Listen, it's your anniversary. The drinks are flowing. Listen.
Oh, shoot. Thank you.